Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this, our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. So today's episode is all about remembering the good times and crazy times in primary school. Primary school was over 2 decades ago, man. 2 decades, 20 years. I can't believe that was so long ago. And I still feel like I'm a kid. It feels as if it was just not too long ago, man. And right now, I'm kind of sitting at this transitionary stage where I just got out of uni, but I got out from uni 2 years ago, man. That was quite a while. But yet, I still feel, you know, I'm still a kid. I'm still enjoying life, but really, I'm not. I've been working for 2 years already, and I'm nearing my 30s. I'm feeling so conflicted. I don't know what to do. I don't understand. But anyway, that was such a long time, isn't it? Primary school. And when I was in primary school, I was still using payphones, but I can remember that, like, all of a sudden everybody now owns a smartphone, right? But back then we were still using payphones to contact my parents. I think now my friends had a phone, like the lousy kind, Nokia, the brick phone where you throw on the floor will break, that kind. We all line up to use the payphones every day as primary one students, because we want to call our parents. My school had 2 payphones that were the silver metal kind, not the plastic orange one, if y'all remember. I remember the plastic orange one was more common in coffee shops, the short one, but the ones we had was the long rectangular silver metal kinds. And it's amazing how far we have progressed since then. Now everyone has a smartphone, and smartphone, you can do so much with it. You can watch videos, you can play games, you can even go online and do so much. But back then, all we have was the shitty Nokia phone or even the payphone. I remember we used the payphone a lot when we joined primary one to speak to our parents. I think because we were still, maybe we use it in the first 2 weeks where we are still kind of fresh and new. Then after a while, we stopped using it because we have these primary 6 seniors that were accompanying us. I'm not sure about your schools. Mine would designate each primary 1 student with a primary 6 senior to bring them around, introduce them to the school canteen, school food, and also make new friends. What happened was my senior had a clique as well. So we will hang out together with him, and he will also hang out with his cliques. So as a result, right, they will also have their own primary 1 to take care of, right? Then all the primary 1 will hang out together because our seniors were a clique. Feels a lot like parenthood, isn't it? Your friend's kids becomes friends with your kids. Having the senior was good because it's like your first legitimate school experience where there's so many people, so many teachers, and it can be quite scary because you're jumping from what is before primary school, nursery, kindergarten, or whatever it is, right? Like back then, it was still very not so serious in kindergarten or whatever it is. And then when you go to primary school, things are real now. You need to go for your PSLE. I mean, it's still 6 years later, right? But things are real. There are punishments. Then there's some sort of social hierarchy involved. And then teachers are not as nice. They're not going to coddle you. I mean, they're going to coddle you to some extent, but yeah, at the same time, they're going to be very tough and very strict. So it can be quite scary. And speaking of scary, my era was interesting because we existed in the intersection of 2 teaching philosophies, approach, or mindset. What I'm trying to say, right, is back then, it was still acceptable for teachers to bring a cane to school and cane you, and teachers can go ballistic on you, shout at you, and throw your school books without much repercussions. At the same time, these behaviors are increasingly frowned upon. I remember 2 such instances where teachers do these kind of crazy things. The first one involved a Chinese teacher in his 60s. He taught me Chinese for a year. He will always bring his cane to school. For some context, a cane is the standard issued cane. I mean, I'm quite sure all of you are familiar with. You can get it from your wet market or your hardware store at some shop houses. And it's a stick made out of a long, flexible wood that inflicts decent amount of pain. If the person whack hard enough, it might even cause you to have some sort of red color, blisters or whatever it is. But if you whack softly, it's alright lah, it's alright. It's more of the action of it, that the embarrassment of it that makes it hard to stomach, right, for students. And whenever we misbehave, he will use that to beat our hand. He didn't even spare the model students, you know. I thought this kind of situation is, he will use it to inflict pain or punish the naughty students. But even the model students also got into trouble because I remember one of the prefects, right, She was just talking for a bit during lessons, and he was also teaching lah, but I mean, she was passing things around, she needed to communicate, and then he didn't like it, the teacher didn't like it at all. So the teacher just asked for a hand, and then the teacher caned her hand. And after he caned her, she started crying and it became very awkward for everyone. I think her parents came down to complain, and very soon after, he stopped bringing his cane. And that was it. Another instance, right? This one is the more scary one, where it involved a mentally unstable or perhaps emotionally unstable teacher. I still remember her name, but I shall not name and shame. If y'all remember, back then, we used the OHP to project things on the whiteboard. So if you remember, right, the OHP is like this machine that has a periscope on it. Essentially, it's like they are using mirrors to project whatever that is on this platform onto the white screen. And then these things, right, that you put on the platform are usually made out of plastic sheets, plastic transparent sheet where the teacher can use marker to draw on it. So it's kind of like a way to project things to entire classroom before the advent of projectors. Now we all have projectors, right? But back then, we didn't really have projectors, so we had this giant machine that projects things. And then usually this is where the math teacher would use it a lot. The math teacher would write the problem sums on the transparent plastic sheet, and then they'll put it on the platform and show it. I'm not quite sure what the teacher was going through. So she was writing on the plastic sheet, explaining what is the answers, how do you do the working. Then all of a sudden, right, she got very emotional. And she started crying, you know. It's not like we were shouting, we were disturbing, we were disrupting her class. She just started crying, then tears was like dropping down. It's not like your teary-eyed kind of situation. It's legit crying, sobbing, man. So her tears was literally dripping down on the plastic sheet. And the tears made the marker ink kind of bleed all over the plastic and onto her hands. As a primary school student, you look at this, you're like, what the fuck, man? I can't even process this. I'm too young to comprehend this situation. You have no context whatsoever because we didn't disrupt the class. We didn't shout or we didn't make noise. We just started crying. And this was just so weird and uncomfortable. And besides the crying, right, you also need to understand a broader context. She is also quite emotionally unstable in the sense where she would just go ballistic on us. Like there was a troublemaker who was very disruptive and the teacher got so mad she grabbed his textbook, tore it apart, threw it up to the fan, and the fan shredded it, and she threw the rest of his books out of the classroom. And right after the incident, right, the parents just came down and started complaining and shouting at the teacher, like, how can she do that? Because if you think about it, right, I'm not quite sure whether the olden times they do that. Maybe they do. But even now you think about it, even at that time when we were in the transitionary stage, right, this kind of actions is just unacceptable, isn't it? You can't just go around and tearing people's books because the parents actually paid money to buy those textbooks, right? And it's expensive. And you can't just tear it apart because your student is disruptive. You can make him stand outside or you can shout at him. But you can't do these kind of things. I think when money is involved, right, then especially in a neighborhood school, people get very caught up. And I don't think it's just the money part. Mainly it's also the way the teacher has treated the student, right? Even though he was like a monkey, a clown, or whatever it is, she shouldn't have done that. You can't just tear someone's book. And when that happened, we just kind of look stunned, aghast, and we just don't know what to say. And the teacher just, I forgot what happened to the teacher. The teacher might have just sat down and continued talking as per normal. So that's the very weird part also. She can go ballistic at one point, and then she can go back to normal almost instantaneously. And that was very uncomfortable, disconcerting. I suppose that's the right word to use it. And you can see how it was crazy back then. I can't say I am glad to have gone through this, but it was a memorable experience for sure that kids won't be able to experience. I mean, which is good for them now, good for the kids nowadays. They don't have to go through all this crazy shit. Back then it was crazy, man. And I can't even imagine those who are older than us, what did they experience? Because even older times, it would be even like there's no regulations or rules, right? And all the parents are very much with the teacher, not against the teacher. Nowadays, the whole narrative is flipped, right? A lot of the parents are against the teacher. The parents treat the teachers as if they are in a client and advertising agency kind of relationship, right? They will just expect a lot of things. The WhatsApp has to be 24/7 on, and then they expect them to run tuition. All these expectations. And I'm just wondering right now, right, whether this experience has shaped me in any way, I don't think it did. I don't think it has made me tougher, like all this scolding, all this crazy shit that happened. Because I feel that, I think this whole argument is kind of flawed, where they say, oh, you know, all this bullying or all these like crazy teachers, right, should build your character, right, to toughen you up, to make you have more grit, and you're a lot more hardy, and you won't give up that easily. And when at the workplace, when people scold you, you can go through this, like you don't get affected that much. I don't think so, because I feel that I experienced this early on in primary school. I experienced it in secondary school, where, you know, you get bullied, you get scolded by teachers, you get scolded by your coaches and all these things. And I still don't feel like I'm at a level where I can handle this kind of scolding. I still feel very affected by these kind of things. I think as someone that is very conscientious and very introverted, and generally I like to overthink things, and whenever I get scolded, it's a very difficult thing to accept, and it's very hard for me to, it takes a lot of time for me to process it, and it hits hard, man. I feel that it hits harder than a lot of people. Like generally, that's the difference, right? I can't just forget it very easily. I can't just let it pass. And when people tell you to, oh, you know, you need to separate work from personal, like it's not meant to be personal, all these kind of things. It always feels personal to me at any point, even though it's not personal. It just kind of hits very hard. And I don't think it helped at all. I wish it was. Everybody came on saying, oh, you know, this will build you up, this will make you better as a person. But I don't think so. Moving on from the bad experiences, primary school had a lot of positive experiences as well. Canteen break was always a fun time. Back then, the food weren't regulated so tightly by MOE. When I was in primary school, maybe primary 1 to primary 4, the drink store still sold Pepsi, Sassy, Sprite, all sorts of soft drinks. And there was stores selling french fries too, which was, what the heck, man, like nowadays you think about it, I don't think it's possible at all. You can't even sell anything that is remotely unhealthy, right? And sometimes I would just get a bag of fries and a small cup of Pepsi. So it was interesting because they were catering to kids, right? The drinks can come in different sizes. And then there was an ultra small version, you know, like the styrofoam cup that you use to make coffee, where people hold some sort of event, then they have their small styrofoam cup. So they sell Pepsi in such a small cup too. So I'll get the small Pepsi, then I'll get a bag of fries, and that will be my meal for the day. It was like damn nice, but it was damn unhealthy. What was most exciting wasn't the unhealthy food. I mean, as much as you see, wow, I got Pepsi, Sassy, Sprite, french fries. Actually, it was the Yakult that was the most exciting part of canteen break, of canteen food. Whenever you buy a Yakult, right, you'll get a toy for free. I'm not quite sure whether this was the same for other schools, but for my school, we got toys lah. Maybe it was an initiative by Yakult. It was like Kinder Surprise. You buy the Yakult for about 60 cents and you get a random toy. So these toys, right, is not like the same toy every time. It's a randomized one. Like every season, every month, or every week, right, they get a new fresh batch of toys. So when you buy your Yakult today and you buy a Yakult next week, right, the toy can be completely different. But the unfortunate part about it was that it was expensive. It was one of the most expensive items at the snack store. It was like 60 cents. So you can buy like 3 packets of snacks with 60 cents back then. Usually I'll buy Yakult once in a week, but otherwise I wouldn't. On other days I wouldn't buy it because I only have, how much was my pocket money? I got about $1.50. How was that enough, man? I think $1.50, it was enough to buy me an actual meal. But I'll just spend it on snacks instead. And then Yakult, right, takes out about half of your $1.50, alright? Then you don't have any money to buy other things, really. You must as well use $1.50 to buy like 6-7 packets of snacks, right? Yakult for the toy. The toy has limited purposes. I feel that the toy, right, is more appealing to the primary school, primary 1 students. Like, I think from primary 1 to primary 4, right, it was appealing because all these toys seems like a novelty, right? You never had this opportunity to just pay 60 cents for a small toy. Usually toys are much more expensive, and now you have this opportunity, then you keep buying. But then you realize that these toys, right, eventually becomes very outdated. Once you reach like primary 5 or primary 6, these toys doesn't really matter anymore. You are more interested in, I don't know, because you are reaching puberty or maturity, right? You are more concerned about friendships, you are more concerned about eating good food than the toys in this case. Speaking of snacks, I remember during birthdays, it was common for my friends to make small goodie bags with snacks to give to the entire class. I'm not quite sure whether this is a popular practice among all the schools, But it was happening in my schools, and you can see that there's different tiers of goodie bags and different ways to celebrate birthday. If you're like damn rich, then you will host your McDonald's birthday party. Then if you're like kind of middle or low tier, right, then you would most likely be making the goodie bags. You wouldn't be celebrating like an event, you wouldn't have a cake or whatever. But what you do is you will still create all these goodie bags for your friends and give it to them. It is also a good excuse for your parents to buy all this junk food, and then you can get to eat all this junk food because you need to buy all these potato chips, small packets of sweets and mommy monster to create the goodie bag, right? And of course there will always be leftover. And then all this leftover is yours to eat. And then during that period where you hand out all these goodie bags, that day you are the most popular kid, no matter how unpopular you are, because this junk food is a premium. Even back then when the rules are still pretty lax, where there was Pepsi being sold and fries being sold, for some reason the snack store never sold this kind of junk food. And giving all this junk food to all your different friends, yeah, your favorite for the day. And it's a rare day because not every day is a birthday, right? So whenever these kind of things happen, it was very fun. Another great memory was a charity fun fair the school hosts annually. I'm not quite sure what charity they were raising money for, but every year they would do that. All the teachers have their own booth during the fun fair, and some were your typical fun fair games, some sold food, and some were selling toys. I think because our school was a neighborhood school, a lot of these things are a lot more, how do I say, authentic or homemade, I would say. Fun fair games is not your typical, like what you see at the Pasar Malam fun fair games. It's whatever that you make with your own hands, whatever things you can come up with all the materials you have. And then the food is all home cooked food from all the Malay teachers and all the Chinese teachers who are parents usually. And then there were teachers who also sold toys as well. Secondhand toys, because before the event started, they will ask us to donate toys, right? Then they will sell those toys at the fun fair. And I remember there was also a dunking machine. I'm not sure what's the actual name of the machine. It's the one where you throw a ball at a target to drop the person into a tank of water. It was a charity event, so they had the principal sit on the tank, and then they charge more money for an opportunity to dunk the principal. But otherwise, most of the time, they will have a random teacher sitting there. And then they'll have one teacher that keeps on getting dunked. And it was pretty fun. I think the fun fair overall was great. It's one of the few opportunities where you can wear home clothes to school and hang out with friends. Being able to wear home clothes is such an event when you're in primary school because everybody is wearing uniforms every day. At the same time, you don't really have much freedom as very young kids to just hang out with your friends, go out to a nearby mall, because some of your friends are living elsewhere, right? This fun fair was a perfect opportunity because all the parents were invited and all the students were invited. And it was an event where everybody will be there and then everybody will be wearing home clothes. And this is where you get to have fun, see your friends in their cool clothes, I suppose. And then you get to hang out, eat, play the fun fair games. Then we will play catching after school. And then afterwards, we will go to someone's house to play Xbox. Xbox was popular back then in my social circles compared to PlayStation. It was fun playing local multiplayer. 4 person sitting in front of a TV, playing games from morning till night without any worries. Overall, I had a lot of good memories of my primary school days. As much as the bad experiences were vivid and memorable and insane, I don't think about it at all. It is the times where I found simple joy in just having french fries and Pepsi for a meal, and the fun fairs that made me miss those times, because back then I feel that I look forward to things a lot more. I was very eager when I know that the fun fair was coming up, when I know that the next day was school, I get to eat french fries again. I feel so happy and I look forward to that. But now, I think as an adult, I don't know whether it happens to other people, but for me, I feel I no longer look forward to things as eagerly as when I was in primary school, and I don't know why. Maybe I just don't care about things anymore. Maybe life for me is just filled with anxiety, with so much worries and responsibilities, right? And having accumulated so much trauma throughout the years, I don't know how to describe it, man, but I don't know why. Maybe it's just part of being an adult, I guess. I try to replicate or recreate these experiences. I try to make myself look forward to things, like I would create my calendar, then whenever I see, oh, there's a new Marvel movie come out, or maybe there's a new TV show, or maybe I'm going overseas with my friends, I will mark it on my calendar. I'm kind of hoping that, hey, maybe I can feel excited by marking it in my calendar and thinking about it. And all I feel was just a tiny bit of excitement. Then that's all. Afterwards, I just get distracted by life problems again by work or by whatever things that is causing me anxiety, right? I think for me, primary school was a perfect moment because you are still not mature enough to feel the kind of crippling anxiety. You haven't gone through so much of trauma yet. You're still new, fresh, young, and all you feel is sadness, happiness, very simple feelings. And that was nice. I mean, you look forward to things, and when you get scolded, you feel sad, that's all. But you don't really hold on to all these sad things that much. You don't really feel that traumatized by it. Like a lot of the bad things that happen, I remember, but I don't really care so much. But now I think if bad things happen, I will like really hold on to it very dearly. Like, I don't know, my life depends on it. I need to feel terrible for myself. Yeah, but it was nice. It was nice remembering all these things, remembering the fun times and the crazy teachers. And that's the end of the podcast. I hope all of you guys have enjoyed it, and I hope that some parts of it was relatable to you. You might have the same experiences as me, and I'm also keen to hear what are your experiences like in primary school. I wonder whether there's any differences here, because I came from a neighborhood school. Maybe other neighborhood school might be different, or maybe private school will be different. I'm not too sure about that, but I'm keen to hear what are your thoughts and what are your experiences. And one last thing, if you have been enjoying the podcast and listening to it a lot, you might want to consider supporting the podcast at patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, where you can support the podcast for as low as $2, a cut of taping a month, to get additional episodes. And it's a way for me to get extra cash to fund the video podcast setup, to do live streaming in the future, and to upgrade my audio equipment, to get better cameras, so that eventually I can do more things, I can explore different content series, then record more content for you guys. If you're interested, please check out the website. And that's it. I hope all of you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I will see you guys next week.